every tongue confess that you are the Lord. You're the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Lord, we thank you. And Lord, we look forward. We look for that day, that one day, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. And Lord, we bow our knee and we say with our tongue, you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And we thank you, Jesus. We magnify you and glorify you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just rejoice this day. This is the day you've made, and we're just so thankful, Lord. Lord, we thank you. And Lord, we just pray and we bless and pray for the tithes and the offerings. Lord, you said that if we would bring the tithes and the offerings into your storehouse, that you'd open up the windows of heaven and that you'd pour out wholeness. And Lord, we thank you for that. And you also said that the devourer would be rebuked off of our lives. And Lord, we declare and we decree that the devourer is rebuked off of our lives. And we thank you and we magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Tuesday morning prayer at 6:30 here. Have coffee will his own. Tuesday night we have healing rooms and mission at 7 p.m. Wednesday night we have Bible study at 6 p.m. here. And then Thursday night we have healing rooms here at 7. Wanda, because some did not get to participate with us earlier in singing happy birthday to Junebug, we're going to do it again. We just love you so much. Amen. What was that, Wanda? Do it again, Wanda. I didn't hear it. It didn't carry very good. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. We're gonna let Myron share in a little while. Let me share this and then I'll get into that. Next Sunday, Easter Sunday, I announced it last week, but we're going to have sunrise service at our house around the pool. Nan says sunrise is at 7 a.m., so that'll be 7 a.m. Then after service, we're going to have breakfast. There's a list back there, so you can look at the list and put your name down what you would like to bring. One thing if you can bring lawn chairs, if you have lawn chairs. If you don't, we have chairs. But bring some lawn chairs. And yes. What was that word you used? We didn't. I said later, but you said we didn't want to do sun. Is what? We didn't. We want to do sunrise, not sun risen service. So anyway, praise God. Anyway, I think we'll have a good time. That will be their service. We won't come back here and have another service. So go to bed early so you can get up early. I know Sandy can because she was here at 7 o'clock this morning. Praise God. Amen. How many know don't know the way to our house? Huh? Okay. The easiest way is to go down from on 281. I mean 1015. When you pass 281 at Stripe Store, you go to the next road to the left. It's Rancho Toluca Road. You take a left, which you go east, and it's basically a mile and a quarter. You'll go past a bunch of grain tanks and blah, 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 and you go down there, and there's a packing shed on the left, and on the right, you'll see a barn in our gate that says Rancho de Paz, Rancho Peace. The gate will be open. And if you get lost, call me. We live in a zoo. but the ducks are not allowed in the pool. We have a fence that keeps them out. Afterwards. Yeah, you can go swimming if you want to. Ali, do you want to go swimming? Okay. Praise God. Amen. No, but it'll be warm. You can go quickly. And if you're asleep, you can go ahead before the service, and that way you'll be woken up. Praise God. I want Myron to come and share the miracle that has taken place in his life. You know, we've all been praying for Myron, and praise God, and we went. They requested that Nan and I go with him for his follow-up meeting in Houston. And I'm going to steal a little of your thunder. Is that all right? We were there, the surgeon, Dr. Fisher's, of course, Myron had to do a CAT scan and blah, 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 and all that stuff ahead of time that morning. And he hadn't looked at the pictures yet. We got the privilege of looking at all of the pictures with the doctor, and he went over and over and over and over and over, and nothing. I mean, nothing. So that's a little bit of the thunder I stole, but it was such a blessing to see what God has done. And look at him, how good he looks. It's all yours now.
It was a real privilege.
No, you need to talk.
I'll do
there.
It like I wanna, this.
I
okay.
want to record it.
Well, let me start a little bit earlier than when he couldn't find anything in the blood test or the CAT scan images. He came in and we talked a little bit about this, that, and the other thing, and he looked at my belly and I said, "It's a little tender here and here," and he said, "Yeah, it's tender there, all right." And we talked about a few other things, and then he began the normal spiel that a medical doctor does. He said, "You have to take chemotherapy." And we began to ask him questions about chemotherapy and his whole idea that we have to do chemotherapy. And he basically could not say that it would be beneficial. It would, however, be something that he had to recommend and has to recommend, but it would not extend my life expectancy. And then he went on to say, it's going to come back. Well, then he looked at the CAT scan and looked at the blood test, and he said, "There's no evidence of any cancer in your body." And then he said, "It's coming back." And I thought to myself, you don't know who you're talking to. And I thought about Nan. I have no tumor right now left in my body. And Nan was there with me, and she had a tumor. And she didn't take chemotherapy. Praise God. And Jesus is her healer, and Jesus loved Nan. Jesus loves me as much as he loves Nan. And then I thought about, you have a book back here that we've made reference to, I think, this morning by Dodie Oldsting. She was sent home for 2 weeks and had 2 weeks to live, and Jesus doesn't love Dodie any more than he loves you or me. And so I was listening to the preparation. I was almost persuaded that I needed to take chemotherapy. But then I asked myself, what good is it going to do? It's only going to deplete my resources and hurt me and all of that. And then I just knew that Jesus is my healer. And I'm so thankful for your prayers. I'm so thankful for the witness that I have in heart and hand. And so thankful, primarily, that Jesus is our healer. We can do some things, and I intend to do some things in the natural. I've got to make some changes, I think, in the way that I have lived my life and eaten and done some other things. And that might help me. But I know that Jesus is the one who is my healer. Amen. I know that I will be tested. And I've already been tested some. And Jesus led me through. When I began the ordeal of my ordeal that has left me slimmer, which I kind of like, frankly, there was another man who I respect spiritually, who has spent now 120-some-odd days in the hospital. He wasn't in the hospital at the time, but he's had his own ordeal. And one of the things he told me was that he had an image or a prophetic idea when I asked him to speak to me. And he said, you remember that scene from Indiana Jones and the search for the Holy Grail, when he was on one side of a chasm and he had to go to the other side and there was no way to do it, and he had a puzzle to solve, and one of the part of it was that he had to take a step out. And it was only after taking a step that the bridge was revealed to his eyesight. And then, of course, he was smart and picked up some sand and threw it on the bridge that he couldn't see beforehand. But that's sort of a metaphor for putting my trust in Jesus. I would call Art repeatedly. I'm sure he does. He's probably thinking about changing his number. And he would remind me that I needed to put my trust in Jesus when my faith is weak and I need help. Put my trust in Jesus. So it's not chemotherapy and it's not behavior changes or diet changes or anything else. Although maybe some of that would help, not chemotherapy for me, thank you. But putting my trust in Jesus is what I choose to do.
Amen.
And I'm thankful, as I said before, for your witness and for the prayers of all of you. Thank you, Art, for the privilege of speaking for a moment.
Amen.
That's, I could go on, but you don't want me to particularly.
Go as long as you need to. Praise God. Love you. You know, I guess I just really get beside myself every time I see God do something. I mean, it's awesome. It's a wonder. In other words, I know He's going to do it. I expect Him to do it. But then when He does it, praise God again. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And I wanted to share with you this morning, we're going to talk about some things, and then we'll have communion. And as we're gathered around communion, I don't know whether you know it or not, but the healer is here. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the healer is here. We're going to pray. Anyone that needs a touch from God for anything, we're going to pray for you. And God is going to, you know, I mean, here we got miracles all over this place. You know, Wanda, Jay, Nan, Myron, you. That was Junebug. She's going like this, you know. I mean, each one of us have had a touch from God and done things. Juan back there, I mean, he had a tumor and we prayed and it was gone when it was a baby. You know, I don't want to put him on the spot, but I mean, wow, you know. So we, you know, and really when we pray, I expect God to show up. I expect God to do things. And sometimes it's not as fast as I want it to be. You know, sometimes He's smarter than we are. But anyway, praise God. Passover. We're in Passover. Passover is from April the 14th to April the 22nd. And when we're going to talk about the Passover. When we understand that what God did for the Jewish people during Passover, we can better understand Jesus and what He has done for us all. I want Wanda to read, and I know it's a lot of scripture, but I think it's important that we read it, and if you can read along. I think it's going to be up here. But God institutes the Passover in Exodus, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 28. As you remember, we know the story of Exodus. When God spoke to Moses and Aaron, said, "You go tell Pharaoh to let my people go." And then Moses did, and Pharaoh, no, and no, and this plague, and another plague, and another plague, and another plague. I mean, God was doing things. And then in chapter 12, God institutes the Passover. And I want Wanda to read it, and we can follow along. If I'm in the way, you tell me, and I'll move. Okay, I'll move. Father, a lamb for a household. You know that it's, I like verse 28. Then the children of Israel went away and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did it. Wow. As I read that and I think about that, how often do we come to the place and we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We're going to do what you say. And they did it. And we did it. Amen? Praise God. But when we understand, we're going to look at some things, but when we understand what God did during the first Passover, we can understand how God will protect and favor His people. During the first Passover, God did many amazing supernatural things. You know, our God is a supernatural God. And He's an amazing God. Amen? In Exodus, the third chapter, He rescued a slave nation. God rescues us. We were a slave to sin. And when we accept Jesus, we're set free. Just like Israel was rescued. And in Exodus, the 11th chapter, God it made a distinction between the Jewish people and the Egyptians. And He supernaturally protected them from the judgment curses. The children of Israel were supernaturally protected from the judgment curses that He put upon the Egyptians. You know what? When you accept Jesus, you're separated from the world. You've come out of the world. Amen? And as we walk in the Lord, we're separated. I mean, we're protected from the judgment things, from the curses. And then in Exodus, the 12th chapter, verses 35 and 36, God gave them riches of Egypt, including the gold and the silver. I mean, they went out of Egypt rich. And in Nehemiah, it says for 40 years their clothes did not wear out. Man, that'd wreck you going to the store all the time. You wouldn't have any excuses to go to Chico's and to go to this place and that place. Because your clothes wouldn't be wore out. I just had to throw that in, you know. We read it in Exodus, the 12th chapter. Salvation for the whole family. A lamb for a house. A lamb for a house. And in Psalms 105 and Exodus 23, God was their healer. He is our healer. Praise God. It says that in Psalms 105, it says, He also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among His tribes. Brought them out with silver and gold? I mean, these were slaves. These were people that didn't have anything. And they came out with silver and gold, and none was feeble. Praise God. You know, like Nana's been saying, she's came up with a new, let's don't pray for divine healing, we're going to pray for divine health. Amen. We're all going to be walking in divine health. Amen. That's beyond. I misquoted it. Okay, not pray for normal. I knew I always get some healing. You know what? And the other thing is, you know, we all have GPSs. I mean, there's GPSs in the car, there's GPSs in the airplanes, there's GPS everything. And Israelites were led by a better GPS. They had the pillar of cloud that led them. Praise God. And a pillar of fire that kept them warm at night and gave them light. And they had food and water supernaturally. And in Exodus, the 12th chapter, verse 36, it said, God gave them favor. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. So they granted them whatever they requested. And I understand why they gave them favor, because they were ready for them to get out of Dodge, because they were tired of all the junk, all the catastrophes happening, and all the firstborn dying and everything else. But they granted them their request, and thus, therefore they plundered the Egyptians, and they left with everything they wanted. Praise God. I mean, it's not a coincidence so many Jews win Nobel Prizes. Because, you know, they had favor. And they passed down from generation to generation what God had done. What God had done. They knew the Word of God. They were taught the Word of God. And it's no coincidence that the Jews win many, many Nobel Prizes. And there's a higher percentage of Jews that excel in business and medicine and law and arts, because they've got the Word of God in them. Because the Word has been, from generation to generation to generation, has been taught them. Praise God. And I want Wanda to read Galatians, the 3rd chapter. And we're going to see what God promises us. We saw what God did through the Passover to Israel. In Galatians, the 3rd chapter, verse 13 and 14. Paul is saying here in Galatians that we can walk day by day in the blessings of Abraham, being justified by faith. We're not going to do it this morning, but maybe we will one day. But I want you can read in Genesis the 17th chapter, verses 2 through 14. Read the blessings of Abraham. I mean, they were multiplied. He multiplied him exceedingly. He was the father of many nations. Exceedingly fruitful. Praise God, we can have the blessings of Abraham. We are exceedingly fruitful. Nations and kings shall come of you. God says nations and kings will come out of the church, come out of us. We need to expect that. And not just say, we need to expect what God says He's going to do. And He said He made a covenant between me and you and your descendants. Do you know that we have a covenant with God between He and us and our descendants too? And then He said, told Abraham, He's going to give you land in which you are a stranger. You know, God, when we just expect the blessings of Abraham, we can inherit, we can get things that we didn't even think we were going to be able to walk in. We can start walking in. But we need to realize it, and we need to start walking. We need to be expected. We need to be living expectantly what God's doing. This is what Jesus did for us. During the final Passover with His disciples, Jesus introduced new symbols which commemorated Him as our Passover. In 1 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, verse 7, it says He was sacrificed for us. And in Luke 22, verses 19 and 20, it says, and He took bread, Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Jesus said we should take the cup in remembrance of him. We remember the cup that he drank willingly for us, a cup he tried to avoid. Remember the story? He said, if it be, Lord, let this cup pass from me, but if it be thy will, he took it. A cup he tried, for he knew it held suffering and death. Nevertheless, he drank that cup that he might redeem us from the power of the enemy. And when we take the communion cup this morning in our hand, the words of Jesus, this do ye, should move us to submit ourselves to the complete will of God, accepting all things from his hand. Even if it's a cup of suffering, we willingly drink the cup. Submission to God's will enables us to share in a fellowship of Christ that gives us true communion. And Jesus said that we should eat the bread, which is his body, in remembrance of him. We remember that he gave his body willingly to cruel men who beat, bruised, mutilated it, that we might have eternal life. We remember that by his stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24. And then in Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we're healed. He bore our griefs. And griefs is sicknesses, diseases, anxiety, afflictions. He bore that for you and I. We need to realize that all the sicknesses, all the diseases, all the anxiety, how many people get anxious about things? Jesus took it for us. And our afflictions. When we take the communion bread in our hand, the words of the Lord, this do ye, or this do you, should move us to present our bodies to him as a living sacrifice, that his will might be accomplished in us. The submission of our will and the dedication of our body makes true communion with Christ a reality. So let us examine ourselves, as the Scripture says. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us recall what sins we have committed and grant us repentance for them. Confess our sins to God and ask for his forgiveness. We're to make restitution wherever possible and be determined not to sin again. So I want us to come this morning. Let's all come forward and we'll partake of communion. And I'm going to ask David and Ben to pass out the elements. As they're passing them out, go ahead and just. In 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, verses 22, 23, and 20, 26, he says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this blood, this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" I'm going to ask Sally to pray for the bread. Take of the bread. Amen. Praise God. While we're all up, we're going to pray and just believe God. Anyone that's needing a touch from God, physical healing, mental healing, just a touch from God, I want you to come forward. We're going to pray. And then at the end, I want Ben's going in the morning, Tuesday in the morning or tomorrow for a colonoscopy. And so we're going to, amen, praise God. Praise God. Well, I guess everybody's going to get prayer, huh?
We all need prayer.
We all need prayer, yeah. Well, here.
Got enough oil?